I want to welcome everyone today to our episode of Fit as a Fiddle Plus. And what that means for us is that we need to be fit in all areas of life, not just we think always about the medical part of being healthy. But there is a bigger picture than that. I mean, even in the medical part, we're talking about physical health, we talk about mental health, and then we talk about financial health and emotional health. And I mean, it's just all of those things. And I just believe that health comes before wealth, and we really need to focus on being healthy and getting enough rest and eating right and doing all those things. I love watching Rita. She is my co-host, my co-mod, and I love watching her on social media. She's been doing a lot more videos lately, and they're all so fun to watch. And I just feel like I'm sharing a part of her world. When she shows on social media what she's doing and how she is motivating folks to become healthier versions of themselves. And so I really appreciate you, Rita. For those that are listening, maybe for the first time, I am Kathy Benner, I'm a passive income mentor. And back in the day, I almost eliminated the health lane out of my academy because I thought it didn't fit. And my partner at the time, was a real estate agent named Stephanie. And she said, "Don't you dare get rid of the health piece." She said, "That is probably one of the most important pieces of the academy before you start talking about passive income." And she's absolutely right. So I did keep that in the academy, and it is growing exponentially. And I love that we have more and more members every month, and they're tapping in because of the health and wellness piece in the academy. So I appreciate that. So I'm going to turn it over to Rita. I already put in the chat how to get in touch with me at kathybenner.com. You'll see you can chat with me, you can text me, you can email me, and it's got all my information there. And so check that out. But I want to introduce you to Rita Brewer, and I want her to tell us a little bit about what she does and what she brings to the table. So Rita.
Thank you, Kathy, as always, and always so happy to be here. Hey, everybody. So I'm Rita Brewer. Like she said, I have been a clinically practicing PA, physician assistant, physician associate for the past 33 years, and I have a developed an extreme passion for helping people with preventative health and wellness. Now that I know that the majority of chronic conditions that people are dealing with every single day are lifestyle related and in most cases are preventable and reversible. So now I coach people in their health. So my passion is type 2 diabetes reversal because most people don't know that this is a condition that they do not have to live with. But I also help people with all kinds of chronic disease, reversal, weight loss, functional medicine, but I love the coaching even more than clinical practice as a PA because I can really give people the quality of service that they deserve and desire. So that's what I'm doing now. I do one-on-one coaching. I do speaking engagements as well. But I'm super excited to introduce not only an awesome speaker and author and PA and financial coach, but my very close friend, my Italy travel buddy, my sister in Christ. We go to church together too. And I just love her to death. And I'm so glad that she could be on here today because she is a wealth of knowledge and she's really going to bless you guys. She blesses me with her knowledge. She wrote this fantastic book, which we're going to be talking about today. There we go. Faith Fueled Finances, my friend Veronica Alston. So let's get right in and bring Veronica on, and we'll talk. I don't know if you have a bio for to read to Kathy or not, or Veronica can share her backstory as well.
Yes, I love that. And welcome, Veronica. Thank you so much, Rita. Veronica, tell us a little bit about your backstory. I have that you are a financial educator. And of course, I know you've just authored this amazing book. So tell us a little bit about your backstory. How did you end up here?
Okay, absolutely. First, thank you both so much for having me on. I'm so excited to be here and to share my heart and my story. It's something that I never thought that I would do. Like, you just live life and you're going about your business, and life happens, and you start journaling and writing it down. And that somehow magically turns into a book. So, as with Rita, I am also a PA. I've been a PA for almost 2 decades, but I was a PA in the military at first. So I'm a Army veteran, 22 years, retired in 2020, right before the pandemic. I retired with my 22 years, and I actually quit being a PA. And it was Rita who was like, "Don't give up your PA. You worked hard for that." And I was like, because I was finding that I feel like I was just handing out a bunch of prescriptions. And
You know,
it's
I hear that from so many PAs. I hear that. Wow.
not fulfilling.
Not, I mean, you love your patients, you want to help them as much as possible, but your hands are kind of tied. If they come in two, three times with the elevated blood pressure, you're like obligated to treat them with a prescription. For me, it wasn't the preventive. What can we do? What we can do naturally. It was focused on prescriptions a lot. And I just, after a while, I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And so Rita talked me into not giving up. So I did get my license back, and I'm practicing now at Carolina Regenerative, which is a more of a holistic approach and natural ways of trying to help with chronic conditions. And as Rita does diabetes reversal, we work with diabetics with peripheral neuropathy. And so trying to restore the vessels so they can have feeling and reduce the amputations, and also hormone replacement therapies. So I'm kind of bridging between both of those, but my passion through all of that has been finance. And so the reason why I was able to walk away from being a PA for that short period of time that Rita didn't let me finish was because I was able to get my finances in order. And that didn't come from training. It didn't come from when I was brought up. It was through life. In a lot of communities, life teaches you about money. If your parents don't teach you, we don't talk about it in school. We don't have home economics class where you have to learn how to write a check and balance a checkbook. We don't have that anymore. I didn't talk about it at church except for tithing and giving, but no one taught me how to have a budget. Went to school and signed for these enormous student loans, was not taught how to pay them back, was just told, 6 months after you graduate, you'll pay them back. To who? So it was a lot of things that I found myself falling into traps about with credit card debt and student loan debt, and you have to get a car, and then after you get married, you have to buy a house and all of these things. And I didn't know anything about money. And so,
Well,
as I,
Veronica, I do have a real quick question. What
yes.
was there an aha moment there somewhere? What actually inspired you that you said, "Ooh, I really need to take control of this part of my life, you know, the financial end?" And because I know folks that never do get
Yes.
control of the financial piece.
Yes, Kathy, I'll tell you honestly, and I write about it in my book. It was my upbringing. I always had like an affinity to learn about money and was always kind of curious about it, but wasn't taught. But my dad suffered from medical issues that caused him to be laid off in
Okay.
my sophomore year of high school. And through that, watching my mom work three jobs to make sure we had food, make sure we're still, have clothes, still can get to school, had a roof over our head. I watched my mom go through that while my dad was recovering through those medical and mental issues. And I watched how hard she was working. Like, she would work as a teacher during the daytime. The evening time, she would come home, make dinner, and off to her evening job, which was working as a cashier at the local grocery store. And then on the weekends, she was selling paintings, Tupperware, like all of the things. And so when I was in my career in the military, and just got married, and life is great. We're gonna buy a house. He has a car, I have a car. And my husband was then diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Oh
And
my.
yes, and I was military, so course, Uncle Sam, mission comes first on my way to overseas to Iraq. And I'm like, what are we gonna do? Because I started replaying in my head, like, yeah, my mom was working so hard. This is why I don't want to do that. And so I was like, okay, I'm frantic. What am I gonna do? And I was deployed overseas to Iraq, and there was a financial kit that was available. And one of the soldiers was like, I need the financial kit. I'm like, oh, okay. He said, well, I have a financial kit, and I'll give it to you if you can give me an autograph. There was a Pittsburgh Steelers coach coming, and he wanted the autographs. And at the time, I didn't care anything about football. And so I was like, well, I need the kit too. So if you give me the kit, I'll get the autographs and we'll exchange. And that really was a prayer answered, because once my husband was diagnosed with MS, I was like, I don't want to work three jobs. I don't know how this is going to go. Being in the medical field, I already knew what MS could do. And so I was like, all right, we're going to have to prepare. And so I just started praying, asking God for avenues to where I can learn how to, well, I prayed that God would miraculously take all my debt away. That's what we want. Win the lottery, or someone die that we don't know that leave us money, or just some miraculous thing. But I had created all of this debt through student loans and just not knowing how money works. And I needed a miracle. And God gave me that miracle through a finance kit. I was like, you could have let me win the lottery, but no, he was like, you need to learn. And so my aha moment was finding out that in God's word, there is a layout for your finances. I mean, I seek his word for healing and for love and repentance and all the other things, but never thought to turn to God's word for finances. And so the kit was Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace. And I walked through that kit, and that was my aha moment. Like, God has a financial plan for my life, and I need to follow it. And that's really how I was able to walk the steps according to Dave Ramsey's plan somewhat. And because I'm military, you tell me to do something, I'm gonna do it. Because if it works, I'm gonna take your word for it. I know how to follow instructions. But through the process, I learned so much about myself and so much about God. I was like, this is amazing. Why doesn't everyone know about this? And so that's how I was able to transition and have that aha moment that I need to get out of debt. And not only do I need to get out of it, I need to document it and share it with others. And so,
Now, what's the biggest barrier that you see? Is it just folks not knowing, not being aware?
not knowing, I have, because of this passion that I didn't even know I had, I started developing the debt snowball process. I started like working through that. And as I started going through the process myself and talking to others, of course, when you find out something and you're all ecstatic about it, and you want to share it with everyone else, I'm like, we just don't know. I didn't know. A lot of people that I talked to, and no one in my family knew. Like, we've considered what I call in my book, man's economy. God has a separate economy. He put, if we're believers, we're in the world, but not of the world. And so when I learned that, I was like, our biggest hurdle is that we just don't know. And the Bible says that we perish because of lack of knowledge. And so once I found out, like, this is the way, I was sharing that with everyone. And I just believe that's the biggest hurdle of just not knowing.
I
I
have
get
to say
that.
how I knew around the same time Veronica and I both became debt free. So we were both really celebrating that. But I had no idea until I actually read her book how much debt she had. And I know she's transparent about it because it's in her book, but I think it's just so impressive that she and her husband were able to eliminate 300 and was it $89,000 worth of debt? And it wasn't even over that long a
Wow.
period of time that you did that, right?
No, because again, being a soldier, when I find a formula that works and when I hit it hard. And it really wasn't it, and I'll tell you the truth, it honestly at first was, I need to get out of this debt because I don't want to work three jobs. Like, that is the honest to God truth. Like, I don't want to be working three jobs and not know how my husband's health is gonna. It started out as fear. And as I started getting into God's word and fasting and meditating and praying daily, and okay, Lord, every dime that He gave me, I started managing it to the best of my ability. It became a faith move. And so, having that much debt, and that's why I actually put it in the book, because I want to be as transparent as possible. It's not an easy process, but it was debt that accumulated over years and years, not just myself, but my husband as well. And this is my husband's second marriage. It was even debt from his previous marriage that we had. But when God gives you a plan and an answer to your prayer, you have to walk it out in faith and not be fearful. Now, don't second guess it. If you just execute and do what God is telling you to do, it's already worked out. Like, He's already got the plan out for you. You just have to walk that path.
Were you actually kind of amazed yourself as the debt started to shrink?
I was amazed and I was motivated, because don't give me a list and I can cross off the list. I'm the nerd. Like, my husband's more of like a free spirit. Okay, babe, whichever you want to do, he's fine with it. Me, I'm the nerd. I'm the numbers cruncher. I
Me too.
like seeing my little spreadsheet go green. Like, it was just motivating to me to see that we were taking those debts out one by one. I love it. And I know not everyone is as motivated about it, but for me, it was, the more I cleared debt, the freer I felt. Like, it's like one down. Oh, good, another one down. And so it gave me motivation to keep going, because I could see the progress.
Okay. Now,
Yeah.
can you share a little bit about your tailored plan and how it might work for someone else?
Absolutely. So, the name of my book is called Faith Fueled Finances, because as I said before, it was a fear of, I don't know what's going to happen. Medically, I didn't know what was going to happen. Financially, I didn't know what was going to happen. And as far as my husband's career, if we're military, and once you get diagnosed with something that you can't go to war for, they pretty much don't need you anymore. And so I had that fear of not knowing where money was going to come from. My goal was to be a stay-at-home mom and follow him around the world. And so that plan came to a screeching halt. And so with that, the first thing I really had to do was to change my mindset. So one of the first step is changing your belief system. I believe that's ultimately important, because if you don't change how you operate with money and how you believe money works, you're going to continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. I mean, how many stories do we hear about people who win the lottery and then a few years later they're
They're
broke
broke.
again because they've spent it all. They haven't managed it wisely. And so, my first step and my approach is to change your mindset about money, change your belief system, and believe that, one, you have everything you need. Two, that you're blessed. God has blessed us, almost everyone, to have an income. And if you don't have an income, it's because you're not trying. You can do anything these days. Cut grass, Uber Eats, like, you name it, you can find ways to make money. So we're blessed in that capacity. We're blessed to build wealth, and wealth is a gift from God. And so I accept the gift, the free gift of salvation, and the gift of wealth from God. So my first step really is to change your belief system about money. Also, after I'm gonna get my book out so you can see. It's the other chapters in the book we talk about. There we go. I talk about eliminating distractions, because you can change your mindset. But if you still have these distractions, and distractions can be anything from a daily coffee routine, running to the store, not having a list, not budgeting, just allowing your money to just go, not paying attention to your budget. So eliminating your distractions will help you as well to start focusing. But before you can eliminate distractions, after you change your belief system, number two, you actually have to know where you're going. You have to set the GPS. And that's going to be your financial goals. Like, what goals do you want to set? What things do you want to achieve in life? Which is really the main purpose of what I consider the debt-free life, is so that you can live in your purpose. A lot of us are tied to an income. Sometimes you're working at a job or doing things that you really don't like to do. It's not your passion, it's not your purpose, but you do it because the money is good, or you absolutely need the money to continue your career, to pay for all of these expenses. So if you set your goals and those goals align with your purpose and you're able to achieve those goals, you're able to live a more fulfilled life and live in purpose. So that is ultimately, the goal of getting out of debt is to live in your God-given purpose.
I didn't realize, until I read your book too. I'm not as much of a biblical scholar as you are, but I didn't grow up with it, but I'm learning more and more. And how many Bible references there are about money. There's so many, and you highlighted so many of them in your book. And I was just curious, do you have one that's like a favorite? Because we have probably have a lot of non-believers, or at least people who really have not are not Bible readers. But can you teach us our audience and everybody about what are these scriptures and what do they mean, and what should we do? How should we focus on them?
Well, my favorite, Deuteronomy 8:18, and it's saying that God has given us the ability to create wealth. And so, me coming from inner city, no financial background, no understanding of wealth whatsoever, even I, God has put the ability for me to create wealth. And so that was kind of key for me to understand that no matter what your background, no matter where you come from, no matter where you start, you still have the ability to create wealth. And you hear a lot of stories about people who go start with nothing and just a belief and a drive in themselves, and they accomplish it. And this is believers, this is non-believers, this is anyone. We all have the ability to create wealth. And what I love about the Bible is that it doesn't say that this Bible is specifically for churchgoers. It doesn't even say it's specifically for Christians. The word is the word, and it applies to all. And when you apply the word of God in your life, it works out. So that is one of my favorites. And the other one is Proverbs 22:7. It says, the borrower is slave to the lender. That one hit me hard because borrowing became, it's so common for everything. I mean, for even more now than it was when I was going through college. I teach college kids now, and they are now doing the buy now, pay later for Uber Eats for their Chick-fil-A orders. And I had no idea until I was speaking to a classroom full of college kids, and I was telling them, stay away from the buy now, pay later. And they were like, we're already in it. Shein and all of these websites to buy outfits and things and go out and party. They're buying it on buy now, pay later. And so realizing that now you have become slave to that company until you pay them back. And they are going to hunt you down until you pay them back. And I did not want to be a slave to a company. And so I was like, God, I mean, it sounds so harsh and so mean for something that's so common. Like, go borrow money. It's nothing to borrow money. You can do it on your phone now. Back in my day, you had to go in at least and sign something. Not anymore. And so, understanding that the more you borrow, the more you become enslaved. And when you're enslaved to that company or enslaved to that debt, it's hard to live in purpose. And so I believe that you can, you we don't fuss about borrowing for business or borrowing for your home, things that are increasing in value and things that are going to give you a return on your investment. But just because you borrow doesn't mean you have to stay there. Just because you can have a 30-year mortgage doesn't mean you need to have a 30-year mortgage. Who said 30 years? Like, it was 30 years, 40 years. Now cars are being financed at 7 years when they used to be 3 to 5. The bar keeps moving. And so we're staying in debt longer. And the longer we stay in debt, the less opportunity we have to really live in purpose without feeling that negative impact on our lives.
That's
Well, I definitely invest in real estate, and so I'm looking at finances all the time. So I get this at a very deep level because I'm constantly leveraging between properties and finances, and so I certainly understand. And it is such a good feeling when you have something that's either paid in full or something that you can a big item. I'm talking a house that you can buy with cash, and say I paid cash for that. And so you can do it. And again, for those of you that don't know my story, if you click through at kathybinner.com, there is a tab that says My Story, and I certainly can feel everything Veronica's talking about. I was the gal working three jobs. I had a car that I couldn't keep running. Had to my set my alarm because I was working daytime and nighttime, and I'd set my alarm, and when I would wake up out of a dead sleep, it would take me a minute to remember which job am I getting dressed for. I remember those days, like, okay, because one job I had to wear a uniform and the other job I had to wear a suit, and I'm like, and they were both hanging on the back of my door, and I'm like, which outfit do I put on? Wait a minute, wake up. And I remember those days, and I was a single mom. And like Veronica, I just kind of made up my mind one day I was going to figure this out because I saw enough folks out there that weren't struggling like I was, and I'm like, what do they know that I don't know? What have they figured out that I haven't figured out? And I just made up my mind that I was smart enough to figure this out. And it's not without hard work. It's not without dedication and making a commitment to figuring it out. But I agree with Veronica that the tools are there, especially in today's society with as many online tools as we have. The tools are there that you can figure this out and get yourself squared away. So, Veronica, I appreciate this book is so important. Your message is so important. I really appreciate you writing this. And I did have a question in the book. You talked about generosity. Describe how that goes beyond financial giving, and what impact does it have on our relationship, even our spiritual relationship? What impact does having that generosity change?
When you give, it is a feeling that you cannot describe. When you're able to give, and this is through church or a stranger or a cause, and you're able to meet someone's need, and because I'm a Christian, I'm going to always refer to God. Like, I believe that we are most like God when we're giving because He gave His only Son, He gave all He had. And he did that for us. And we're able to, sometimes when you're giving, you may be the only God people see. They want your prayers and all that, but they want a meal. That single mom, yes, she wants your prayers. She wants you to, keep her in your thoughts and prayers, but she may need transportation. She may need diapers or something for her children. And so giving unlocks that blessing inside of you that can open up doors for others. And that cannot be replaced. You can't put a number on that. And it's really, unless you When you start to give, you'll start to feel that. It's hard to describe if you haven't experienced it for yourself, but if you've ever been in a bind and someone came through for you, or if you have a child and someone blesses your child, the way you feel about that, the way that makes you feel, that's the way I think God feels about us. When we see a need and we meet that need in someone else, God is like, "Thank you for blessing our child." They feel the same way. God feels the same way we feel. And so I think that generosity helps you to unlock that potential of blessing in your life that opens the door for others. And not only that, it helps you not to be stingy. When you have something and you hold on to it because you feel like you can't let it go and you won't get anything else, you won't let it go, but also it won't be open for you to receive either. And so giving helps you to receive as well as to give. So I think that generosity plays an important part, just keeping us connected with God and keeping us focused on what we're here for. Even when you're giving in your purpose and your talent and you're giving of your time, it goes beyond money. Just thinking about someone else besides our own selfish desires, in which we all have our own selfish desires, but giving is a practice and it's something that we have to work at and we have to get better at. And it only opens up blessings for our lives.
It does.
I certainly agree with that. Yes, Rita.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and I think that's probably why I always see Kathy like, how do you have the energy to do all that you do? And she's always bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and excited. And I just think because she truly has a love for serving and helping people, and that shows, in everything that she does. And we all do that as well. But I know I love the scripture, that talks about, give and it shall be given unto you, right? Pressed down, shaken together, and running
Absolutely.
over. I mean, it's like,
Yes.
wow. And there's so much about leaning on God for not on our own understanding, and just so much about resting in Him, trusting in Him, that He is our provider for everything. And that's helped me so much because I didn't grow up with that. And I kind of grew up with having to fend for myself type of things. Like, I had like my bare, my essentials, but there was no like excess. So I was like everything I ever wanted, or I had to go get it for myself. And I always felt like I was doing it alone, and oh, so much stress around that. But learning some of these scriptures really helped me to just kind of release some of that stress and be able to trust that God's got me, and I don't have to worry and handle every single thing myself. And I think that's another reason I wanted to have you on too, because in the health space, one of the biggest barriers to success that I see with my private clients and patients to be able to achieve their health goals is just the level of stress that they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And a huge reason for that stress is finances, right? From, like you said, whether it's just even if you have the money, but you have to keep that job that you don't like in order to be able to do it. And that's a stressor. And there's just so much stress around money. So I just think it's so important. I want everybody to read your book and grab these tools to be able to become debt-free so you can have more freedom. And I know that was for me too. I didn't know that as an young growing up as an athlete that at 29 years old I would start having chronic pain in my spine and serious arthritis for the that I've been dealing with for the last 30 years. I never imagined that would start happening at 29. So I was not able to work as hard anymore. Physically, it was just not possible. It was just, I had too much pain. So I had to, create a life altering change, the reason that my debt free plan as well, the snowball plan, and get rid of as much debt as I could so I could go part time, and then focus on my passion of, growing my coaching practice. So I just think these tools are so important for everybody, whether you're a believer or not. Whatever your goals are in life, like just we need more financial coaching, teaching. I think it should be taught all through from starting from elementary school and in our school systems, but unfortunately it's not. So yeah.
Rita, I agree wholeheartedly with everything that you just said. And I think one of the things that I realized is that sometimes we don't have a good role model. I mean, our parents struggled. Veronica talked about how she saw how hard her mother worked and three jobs. And my mom did the same thing. And my dad had health issues, and my mom was trying to, wear all the hats and pay all the bills. And I can remember those days. And like Veronica, I remember thinking, I don't want to do
I
that when
don't
I'm trying to.
want to do
And I fell right into the same exact pattern. And because again, that was my only role model. And
Right.
so as you know, Rita, I do teach another lane called How to Build a Better Business. And in putting together websites, I encourage all of my students to actually have a giving page on their
Oh, wow.
website. And so you can visit my website at kathybenner.com and click on the Giving tab, and you'll see where the Kathy Benner International Academy, not only do we give scholarships locally and nationally, but we also give money internationally around the globe for fresh water, for education, for student uniforms, for books, for bicycles, so kids can even get to school.
Wow.
And most recently, I donated sewing machines to some gals so that they could actually make a living for their families. They could sew different items and sell them at the world market. And so
Wow.
I try to practice what I preach, as they say, and put that actually on my website. So again, as an example, I want to not only be giving and do the giving, but I also want to be a role model for those that are maybe looking to me on, okay, how did Kathy put her website together and what pieces do I need to really consider? And I'm hoping that it might inspire someone to say, you know what, I do need to have a giving piece in my business.
Wow,
And
that's
so
awesome.
again, I'm hoping to be inspirational there. Veronica, you talked about the biblical principles of wealth building, and you've highlighted those, of course, in your book. How do they challenge the conventional approaches to money management? Tell us those challenges so that we recognize the pitfalls, if you will.
Absolutely, Kathy. That to me is one of the most challenging pieces. Is because debt is so common for everything. And again, I'm not talking about home or business, credit card debt, car debt, revolving, non-essentials. I just want it to have it. Debt is so, and also the comparison. Well, the latest trends on TikTok and what's everyone wearing, what's everyone carrying, what kind of car are you, did that comparison aspect of it. So we're so inundated everywhere you go. I will take my kids, we're out driving, and I will ask them, see how much advertisement you can pick out. We're driving down the street, everyone is advertising at you daily. You can't watch YouTube or television without advertisement, billboards advertisement, bumper stickers advertise. There's everyone wants your money. And so I'm teaching my kids at such a young age that everyone wants your money, and it's your job to keep it. You have to be on the defense about it. And so with changing your perspective on how you view money, it's so easy to just set up a payment, but the more you places you set up payments, the more it eats away at your future. And so my perspective really is to understand that the money is a blessing that God has given you, and He wants you to manage it to the best of His the best of your ability. So the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and everything in it. So everything belongs to God. So when you're managing what God has given you're managing it on behalf of God. So it's not your money per se, it's money that God has allowed you to have, and He's asking you to manage it to the best of your ability. And when you shift your perspective that this is my paycheck, this is my money, I earned this, until, all right, God has allowed me to have this, and He wants me to manage it for Him, it's a different perspective on the way you will handle money.
Very, yes, very interesting.
Yeah.
Good.
So I believe that when we start handling money God's way, He's like, oh, okay, you're doing all right. You're blessing my children. I can give you more. Oh, you can handle the first million. Good job. Here's another million. God, He will start handing out blessings to you as you start managing properly what He's already given you. But if you're considering all kinds of debt, putting yourself in debt, and then expecting God to give you more, He's like, why would I give you more when you can't manage what you
Manage it.
have? I have an 8-year-old. She wants to drive. Mommy, please let me drive. I can do it. In her mind, she can drive. She wants to drive to school. Lauren, baby, you're 8 years old. It's not time for you. Yes, I can do it, mommy. Yes, I can. I can drive. Lauren doesn't pick up her clothes at home. Lauren doesn't pick up after herself. She's not ready for a car yet. And so God is the same way. I'm giving you this to handle, and you're not handling it properly. So I don't want to give you even more responsibility because it's going to become a hindrance. It won't be a blessing. So when we start handling money God's way, He will start opening up doors. You start being generous, He'll start giving more to you so that you can give away. I can't wait to tithe my first million. I'm excited about it. I'm working on it until God gives it to me. I'm gonna be a steward of what He has for me, but I'm ready because if I can tithe a million, that means I at least have 10. So I'm just trying to prepare with the dollars that I have now, and so that God can get me in position ready to receive however much He wants to bless me with.
Amen. Love it. That's good.
Now, Veronica, in your book, the book suggests that overcoming a scarcity mindset and replacing it with trust in God's abundance. Tell us a little bit about that. I can remember driving along back in those days when I was doing the three jobs, and I remember thinking, I would tell myself these stories. I'm never going to have a house like that. I'm never going to have a decent car. I'm never going to get out from under this debt. And I realized early on I needed to change how I was talking to myself. So and again, it goes along with that scarcity mindset. How do you overcome that?
Understanding that God meets every one of our needs. Our needs are going to be met. If He can provide for the flowers, for the birds, what more, how much more is He going to provide for us? So understanding that God is going to meet our needs. But we also have to understand that when we have a scarcity mindset, we're not limiting ourselves. We're limiting God's ability to work in us. So you're putting limits on God. So having a scarcity mindset, not only does it negatively impact you, it negatively impact those around you, and it negatively impact what God can do through you. Scarcity means I'm never going to get anything else. I'm not going to be able to make ends meet. And Kathy, like you said, it's that terminology that you continue to tell yourself. And repetition is the key to higher learning, as my drill sergeant used to say in the military. So you keep repeating the same thing over and over again, you're going to learn that. And when you learn it, you're going to act on that. And when you say it out loud, people are going to hear it. Your children may pick that up. And so you have to tell yourself that God is my provider. God meets all my needs. And not, I can't afford that, but how can I afford it? Not, I'm never going to have, but when the Lord does bless me with. And so changing your language, first of all, because the power of life and death is in the tongue. You have to say the word of God. You have to speak positive things. I know I keep referring back to the word of God, but that's just, I have it in me. So again, even if you're not a Christian, just saying positive affirmations in your life, just speaking positively about yourself, your finances, and where you see yourself going, then that will ch start to change your mindset. And so overcoming that scarcity mindset, one is you have to speak positive. And two, you have to put action behind what you're saying. So you can speak positive, but if you're still operating in lack, you're still operating in scarcity, then what your words are not going to match up with your actions. And so you want your actions and your words to match up. If you know that God is your provider, then you are going to manage what God has given you as God being your provider. And you can't say, I'll never have, because everything is possible with God. Everything is possible. So understanding that when you match up your actions with your words, that is where true faith comes in.
So true, so true. It's funny you're talking about our pastor's always talking about that topic as well. He wrote a book called Increase, You're Thinking Too Low. And it just reminded me of just this week, actually. I was working and I was with a group of people, and somebody said, if you could have one wish, what would it be? And one of the women said, I wish I could have one, like just one, that's it, $300,000 so I can help my friend who has student loan debt. And I was like, that's really nice, but how about asking for unlimited financial resources for the rest of your life? So you can, it never ends. You can help a gazillion people with a gazillion things, right? Like that's where my mind went because of the teaching that I've had. But I probably would have been where she was at before, but I was like, no, you don't. The money could be unlimited, you know? So like it's such a powerful thing, the way we do look at things. And like you said, the way we what we believe.
What we
You could
believe.
say it, but you really got to believe it, right?
Yeah. And work towards it. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So you got to work towards it. You got to set the parameters in place that's going to help you achieve those goals. We can't have wishful thinking. Faith says, this is my actions. I'm showing you that this is what I'm walking towards and believing God for.
Yeah, so I think that faith piece is such a huge piece to know that if you're doing, and really, you've probably heard me say this before, and I say it on several of my podcasts. I think when you, and I believe that when you do all the right things for all the right reasons, that God's going to honor it.
Absolutely.
And so many folks, they just feel like they're out there spinning their wheels, and they're missing the faith piece of it, you know, and then they throw in the
You
towel too
can't
soon.
outgive God. You can't outgive God, though. You know,
Yes,
whatever you give, he's going to multiply.
And that's one of the reasons why I called it a faith-fueled finances, because I want faith to fuel your money, not fear and anxiety and scarcity and how's the market doing and are there tariffs and what's the price of eggs? Like that is all anxiety based. It's all fear, and those will drive your decisions. So even in today's economy, this market, it doesn't matter. When you have faith fueling your finances, it doesn't matter what comes through. You know that God is your provider, and you know that He is not going to let you fail.
Well, and that brings me to my last question. I want to talk a little bit about how does the book connect financial freedom to fulfilling God's purpose in your life? How is that connected?
When I was going through this, like I said, I started off like, we gotta get these bills paid. I don't know, I'm not working three jobs. I just refused to go down the path that my mom was going down because I saw how tired she was. And with her being tired and my dad being sick, there was me, my brothers and I, and that left three teenage kids to their own devices. We raised ourselves pretty much from like 15 and up. And so what 15-year-old kids do with that's unsupervised, that's what we did. And so that led to lifelong consequences. My younger brother actually ended up in prison. And so I was like, I did not want my future to be dictated on me not knowing any better. And if I could take a part of that story of my life and share it with other, especially young people, then that would help them to not go down paths that my brothers and I took in order to like preserve their innocence, preserve their youth, not be so caught up in crime and gangs and all of these things that can happen when you have unsupervised
Because
children.
at that age, you don't know what you don't know. I mean, you're just out there trying to survive.
So that was one of the reasons why I kind of incorporated and put that into my book, my story as that, because I didn't just say, oh, all of a sudden I'm gonna live in God's purpose and make a book about money. No, there was so much that transpired through that childhood that made me say, I've got to put this not only in a book, but to tell others, because At first, to tell you the truth, I felt like my purpose was delayed because of all the mistakes and things that I went through. But it wasn't until I wrote the book that I understood that that was all part of the story. The way I grew up, the debt piece about it, that was all part of the story to get me to this purpose. And even though I thought I was just writing a book to, faith-fueled finances book, this is how I did my journey. It's now transpired into me traveling to go and talk to youth and traveling to talk to college students and leading Bible studies and education pieces in our churches and different churches, speaking at conferences, things that I thought, I did not think that any of this would ever come about, but it's all in purpose. And so when you're able to, and I would not be able to do it if I did not get out of debt. I wouldn't be able to walk away from that job if I didn't get out of debt. Like, we would not be in the position we were in. And so even though it was about getting out of debt, it was also about finding purpose. And so now that I feel I've found my purpose, I know what my purpose is beyond the shadow of a doubt, absolutely love what I do, it takes on a whole new meaning of financial freedom. Because now I can do it without thinking about how much is this going to cost me. I can do it freely and I can give freely of myself and my time and my talent, all because I don't have that financial piece that's holding me back. And when you're living in purpose, it brings a joy that a paycheck can't fulfill.
True.
I can do this for free all day, every day, because I absolutely love it. But
Yeah.
when
And
I
again, when you do the right stuff for the right reasons, God's gonna honor it.
He's gonna
Yes.
honor it. So it's about finances, yes, but it ultimately is about finding your purpose. Now you're free, you're economically free to discover what it is that God has put you on this earth to do. We all have a purpose.
Yep.
When you're talking with and I know you've talked to a lot of students, you said high school students, college students, you've shared your book, it's out there. What is the one major point or practicality? What is it that you're hearing back in feedback that really is resonating with the readers or with your audience? What's the number one thing, their number one aha moment after connecting with you?
I believe I get a lot of feedback of, I just never thought of it that way.
So aware.
Because awareness, it's
Okay.
so common. Debt is so common everywhere you
Yeah.
go. It's expected. If you go to college, you're going to get student loans, you buy a house. Who thinks of paying cash for a house? It's, I know. So it's so common that people just don't know. And I think the aha moment is, oh, you mean I don't have to, I could pay
Work
cash for a
until
car.
I don't
And
have to do this job till I'm 67 years old.
absolutely. And even the young kids now, they are the job, the gig economy. They are not trying to stay on a job for 40 years and get a gold watch. They want to
Yeah.
do what they want to do and live now. And but understanding that you can do that by saving and preparing, paying cash, and it just, oh, I didn't realize that I could pay cash for a car. I had just last week, I was home for my mom's 75th birthday. She had a wonderful birthday party, and the photographer was telling me that he was in a car accident and he got a settlement for the car. They totaled it out, of course. He was fine, no injuries, but he has this $11,000. And he's like, I'm like, well, do you have to go and buy a car? And he was like, no, I guess not. It's like, I do have another car at home. I'm like, so why are we gonna go and spend this money? You need to put that around, save that, keep that for savings, have an emergency fund. And his answer was, I never thought of that. I was like, wow, we just don't know what we don't know.
Veronica, how can our listeners get in touch with you? How can they connect with you?
So you can connect with me at veronicaalston.com. It's VeronicaAlston. So there's two A's in the middle. VeronicaAlston.com. And There you'll find my website. I speak at conferences, college students do one-on-one coaching, group coaching, family reunions. I say anywhere there's people gathered, I want to be there. And my ultimate goal is to get people talking about money, talking about it often, talking about our goals and our finances so that it's not a hush-hush taboo thing anymore. So you can follow me on social media. I'm at Veronica Alston 18 on Facebook. Same at Instagram. I'm starting at TikTok and YouTube. So I'm trying to get out there, but you
Okay.
can connect at veronicaalston.com.
Now, can they get your book right there on your website? Is there a link?
Absolutely. There's a
Yes.
link if you go to the books or products and you'll see the book. I also have a workbook as well that goes along. It's kind of a
Okay.
journal and it helps you to reflect and ask questions like, how was it growing up with money with you? What are your earliest memories of money? So we can understand the foundations where we get our concepts of money from and then how to bridge that to an abundance mindset.
Oh, that's a perfect book club project
Yeah,
to do the workbook.
absolutely.
Yeah, I love it.
I love one thing that she told me about as well is that when she got together for a family reunion, she made a plan that we are going to sit down and talk about money, like with extended family, cousins and aunts and uncles, and talking about estate planning. And I was like, that is so awesome. Like, I don't know, I've never met anybody who's done that, you know? And I know that's what your next book is going to be about, right? More about estate planning
Oh,
and all that
yes.
stuff, right?
Because once we get the wealth, now we need to know how to keep it and
Right.
to transfer it into generational wealth.
Generations. Yeah, absolutely. So good. So good.
This has been great. Veronica, thank you so much for being with us today. I
You.
really enjoyed meeting you. I love the book. Thank you so much again. And Rita, as always, thank you for being my co-host, my co-mod. I love that. David, do you or Quincy, either of you, and I think Sherry's multitasking, but David or Quincy, do you have any comments or questions for Veronica? Again, at this hour, it could be they're on the drive home or multitasking, all kind of things going on at 5 o'clock. There's Quincy. Did you have any comments for Veronica?
Thank you. Yeah, that was fantastic. I've never heard, especially in a business setting, somebody use the Bible and the word, and it's nice because we just got off of Easter, right? So everybody put their best suit on yesterday, but it's nice to lace up that suit once again right after the holiday. And I love that abundance mindset. That's so true. Every time I was feeling weak or low self-esteem, or especially in business, and I switched it around to the overflow and the abundance mindset, it's absolutely worked. And Proverbs 3:5-6 really lays out that summary of what you're talking about here. And lean not on your own understanding, trust in the Lord with all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path smooth. And so many people say, God, give me that lottery, Veronica, like you were saying, God, give me the release of that. But it's just another way of saying, God, please make my path smooth. And we can't please him without a little bit of faith. And I really love the resourcefulness that you took upon yourself. I mean, that was just so inspiring. Every word that you said to me really hit home. And with Rita backing that and Kathy right there as commentary, honestly, I'm so thankful that I stayed on to this. And this is the reason why Kathy is who she is to me. And she means a lot into my heart because every time I get on something like this, and I'm going to Japan next week or this week on Friday. So I'm going to take this message with me. I'm totally going to forward this to my mom and through my own actions. So I love this. Thank you so much. I couldn't say more gratitude comments. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Quincy, thank you so
Absolutely.
much for
Thank
being with us. We
you.
really enjoy you tapping in whenever you have time. So thank you again for being with us today. I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Anyone
Thank you
else?
for having me.
Thank you. Anyone else? David or Sherry, before we go? Veronica, I just want to say again how much I appreciate you being here. And Rita, as always, I appreciate you. And so with that, we are going to go, but save the date. We are here every third Monday at 4 p.m. The same Zoom code as you see today. whatever code you jumped in on. I have it here. The 865-254-9000. So save that on your calendar and you can tap into any of our calls. We're here every Monday at noon and then once a month, which is the third Monday, we're here a second time at 4 o'clock with our Fit as a Fiddle Plus. So we'll always be talking about something to do with health and wealth. So again, thank you, Veronica and Rita, and we will see everyone next time.
Thank
Bye-bye.
you. Bye.
Bye.